Sisley, W.C. June 13th, 1901. Typed. Dear Brother Sisley, I am intensely desirous that you and those who have been connected with you in the office shall change square about. When I think of the relation in which you have stood to the work of God and to those who have a far more correct understanding of the work for this time than you have, when I see the spirit you have manifested in your work in the office, I greatly fear to have you entrusted with any responsibility in the cause of God. As I review the past and see the deplorable consequences which have been brought about by your strong spirit and your iron will, I am alarmed. How can you harmonize this dictatorial, masterly spirit with the spirit of Christ? I feel very sad when I think of what you, in the position you occupied in the office, might have done to exalt the Lord God of Israel and magnify his truth. You might have represented the character of Christ by lifting up the discouraged, breaking every yoke, and letting the oppressed go free. But you do not know what it means to be conciliatory. You do not seem to understand what it means to be benevolent, kind, willing to show favors. You might have encouraged those who love and fear God by granting them favors. But you have refused to grant these favors, and your discourtesy has saddened and disappointed your brethren. God will not accept such service. As you judge, so you shall be judged. All ye are brethren. Matthew 23, verse 8. He who is in the Lord's service is to act as Christ's helping hand. God wants all who serve him to manifest a tender, compassionate sympathy for his children. Oh, why do so many forget to be gentle and compassionate? Why do men exalt self? Why are they so willing to hurt and bruise the souls of God's chosen ones? By this harsh, unloving dealing, the angels are made sad. Instead of working to build up and restore, men have worked to tear to pieces and destroy. When God's work could have been advanced, not a voice has been lifted to say, "Go forward." But all the words spoken have been in the negative. The words of Isaiah 29, verse 13-14, have been literally fulfilled. You and others have been out of the way. God does not accept the spirit in which his work has been done. It is a misrepresentation of his character. What does it mean that cruelty and hardness of heart, the characteristics of Satan, have been cultivated? Brother Sisley, I have a deep interest in you, but a decided change must take place in your manner of working. Your manner should be far less masterly, your words far less dictatorial. You have no right to conduct yourself in such an unchristlike way. Thus, you misrepresent the truth to all who are connected with you. You have made yourself master, forgetting that one is your master, even Christ. Your words of command are not a savor of life unto life, but of death unto death. Angels from the courts above and messengers from the power of darkness are beholding your course of action. Change your manner of dealing with human minds. Harshness is not saving, but destroying. The spirit of harshness is as contagious as an epidemic. The truly converted soul has a continual sense of the presence of Christ. He realizes that angels are listening to his words and marking his actions. But you leave the Christian at home, acting while in the office as a dictatorial master. Far better might you start from home for your place of work clothed with the attributes of Christ, letting your light shine forth to all around. Have you a standard of Christianity different from the standard set up in the Word of God? If so, break it down at once, and with the simplicity of a little child, go to the Word of God to learn there the lesson of Christ's meekness and lowliness. What saith the Scriptures? They point to Christ dying on the cross to save humanity. They speak of God's becoming man to redeem the human race and elevate and ennoble them. The Spirit you manifest will not lead the workmen to correct their mistakes. You must change. You must be born again, or you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. As a man professing godliness, you are to be just in all your business dealing, representing Christ in spirit, words, and action. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, you are to make it manifest that you are under the control of God, that you are wearing Christ's yoke. To you comes the invitation. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11, verse 29. This lesson you have yet to learn. By your example, you are to show that you are a Christian.
There is a great deal too much sternness in your disposition. When you become a child of God, you will be conscious of a change in your attitude toward God and toward your brethren. Daily, you will show what the truth has done for you. Constantly, you will remember the great love wherewith Christ hath loved you. The knowledge of this love will fill your heart with a Christ-like benevolence. When the truth of God sanctifies your heart, your influence will be light and life to those with whom you are connected. Deal with others in the way in which you would like them to deal with you. Place yourself in the position of those associated with you in the office. How would you feel did they exercise toward you the masterly dictation you exercise toward them? Would severity, such as you show to them, increase your love for God? Would it soften and subdue you? Would it not create in you a dislike for those who treat you as though you had no feeling? Would you not despise such manifestations? Would not stubbornness be strengthened in you? Would not hatred take the place of love in your heart? Will you not reason from cause to effect? Remember that soft words make way for the love of Jesus. If Christ were formed within you, the hope of glory, if you revealed his kindness and love, would not this break down the obstinacy of the youthful workers in the office and cause their hearts to warm in gratitude toward you, because you did not visit their mistakes and errors with words that sting like the cut of a whip? Would not soft, gentle words bind you to them with the bands of love and esteem and confidence? You have had great light and many opportunities, but you have made grave mistakes. You have spoken against propositions to which the most favorable assent should have been given. If these propositions had been received as they should have been, increase instead of loss would now be seen. God sees what has been done in the publishing house. He sees that withholding more than is meet has tended to poverty. He sees that you have handled the truth strangely, causing his purposes to be misunderstood. He sees all these mistakes, but he meets them with love. He calls upon you to extend to your fellow men the love wherewith Christ has loved you. My brother, I beseech of you for Christ's sake to change your attributes of character. Never again misrepresent the Lord Jesus Christ as you have done in the past. God wants you to be converted, that you may be a channel of light. You have intelligence, you have knowledge, but with all this is combined a selfishness that is no recommendation to the truth. Remember that Christ has borne long with you.
Drop from your hands every weapon that wounds and bruises the souls of others. Speak no words that will hurt another. God has given you much light and many capabilities, and He desires you to communicate to others His love, His tenderness, His grace. He desires to see your heart melted by the love which brought the Savior from heaven to die for fallen humanity. The love of Christ is to constrain all who are engaged in God's service. As the physical life is sustained by the blood which flows through the body, so the spiritual life is to be sustained by the life blood of Christ. This causes men and women to engage in active service in the service of God. The Lord desires to hold communion with every one of His disciples. He desires to impart knowledge and wisdom to them. Then every word will be fragrant with the spices of heaven. Every action will be a Christ-like action. Anger will die on the lips. Human beings will be regarded as the purchase of Christ's blood. Men and women, their hearts filled with tender affection, will be drawn forth to strengthen, encourage, and bless. The Lord desires those who are in the truth to exert a saving influence on those who are in darkness. As we behold Jesus, we are wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, which enlarges, purifies, and ennobles our spiritual powers. Thus, Christ is represented, and love begets love. Men may talk of the love of Jesus, but do they live this love? Do they bring His grace into their lives? It is my Father's good pleasure that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. John 15, verse 8. Those who are constrained by the love of Christ go forth among their fellow men weighted with the influence of sanctifying truth. They hold communion with Christ, and His love abounds in them. They are divested of selfishness and are filled with the spirit of benevolence.
God accepts as His agencies those who, in the spirit of Christ, do the work of Christ. Through them, He works to restore His moral image in men and women. But by your harsh, overbearing, condemnatory words, you have wounded the hearts of your brethren. Would you be willing to have others treat you as you have treated them? Even to those who make mistakes, you should speak kind, encouraging words. Thus, you reveal the spirit of the Redeemer. When you can help and favor your brethren, it is your duty to do this, as one acting in Christ's stead. But you have acted on the negative side instead of on the affirmative. You have hindered others from being merciful, even as the Father in heaven is merciful. You often see things in a perverted light. You fail to discern the talents and abilities of others. Yet these talents and abilities may be more precious in the sight of God than your own. Into the sacred work of God, you have brought harshness and a lack of courtesy, dealing with God's children in a severe, dictatorial manner, when an entirely different course would have been proper. In the business meetings you have attended, you have so exasperated your brethren that they have lost all confidence in you as a Christian gentleman. Will you study your Bible? Will you read out of God's Word His will concerning you? Study carefully the 18th chapter of Matthew. Unless you are transformed in spirit, it will not be best for you to attempt to handle sacred things. For without a transformation, you cannot represent Jesus Christ. The Lord has seen the feeling of self-superiority that has been shown in the office. He says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself."
Leviticus 19, verse 18. Have you done this? I beg of you not to connect with the work of God until the dross of a hard, cruel spirit is purged from you. You are constantly wounding and bruising the souls of those connected with you. If your heart was filled with goodness and mercy, your words would have an altogether different effect. You would not hurt and destroy, but would engage in the work of healing. Again, I say, become a Bible Christian. Instead of putting yokes on the necks of others, break every yoke. Humble yourself before God. He says, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Hosea 6, verse 6. The Lord declares, "But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me." Verse 7. By selfish dealing, a work has been done that is entirely contrary to the character of God, entirely opposed to His law. Love to God and love to man are the two great principles of this law. But the law has been perverted by men professing to serve God, and treacherous dealing has come in. Men are not to rob the work in one part of the vineyard in order to build up the work that they are handling. The work in all parts of the vineyard is to be one. Each worker is to do all in his power to build up every interest in every part of the field. Men have shown that they cannot be trusted to handle the means raised from God's people to do a certain work for Him. The Lord declares that a change must come. He says to those in responsible positions, "I will be with you no more unless you set things in order. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, My God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good, the enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and of their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing." Hosea 8, verse 1-4 and 12. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? And thy judges, of whom thou saidst, Give me a king and princes. Hosea 13, verse 9 and 10. Thus things have been managed among the people of God. A few men have had the power of control over all the work, but they have not voiced the words of God. They have followed their own judgment. In God's cause, there are to be no kings. A few men are not to control the work in all parts of the world. God is to be the director and king of His people. Man is but man. He is not God. And when he strives to dictate and control, he brings upon himself the displeasure of heaven. When God's voice is heard, mercy and truth will meet together. All alienation and strife will disappear. All oppression will cease.
O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, words of confession and repentance, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, Take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Hosea 14, verse 1, 2. Yes, we may all say, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He says,
I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Verse 4. Thus, God receives even those who have made false paths for their feet and caused the lame to be turned out of the way, if they heed his reproof and correct their course of action. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, What have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Verses 5 to 9.